There have been, you will know that in the current dispensation, there have been lots of talks and doubts and arguments about some of the experiences that people say they have. But I want you to know that when you encounter God and you witness the power of God, it becomes difficult for anyone to argue against what you have experienced. And there are many examples in the Bible. You remember the blind man who was asked how come he was able to see and who made him whole. He said, "I do not know. But one thing I can tell you is this. Once I was blind, but now I see." Peter also was speaking in Acts. He said, "We cannot but speak of those things we have heard and seen." In other words, when you have seen the power of God demonstrated in your life, nobody will need to tell you to talk about God to other people. And I pray this morning, even as we share these words, that the reality of God's power will be evident in our lives, so much so that we will not be able to keep quiet in Jesus' name. Now, we are looking at spiritually ministering, we are going to be talking about the gifts of God. The gifts of the Spirit of God that make these things possible in the lives of the individual that God has called. You see, when these gifts are made manifest in the life of any child of God, it's an automatic magnet that attracts people to the kingdom. And that is why the Bible encourages us. He said, and that's the only place where the Bible says covet. He said, covet these what? These gifts. So if there's something to be desired, these are gifts to be desired. Praise the Lord. So, and these gifts operated in the life of Jesus. And you see crowd throng or run to wherever Jesus was ministering. Can we go to the next slide, please? And I'll take an example from Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. We have it written in the bulletin here. But I want us to look at the initial part of it. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee," doing what? "Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing." The rest you can read. Now, by the grace of God, we are going to have times when we are going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We are going to be talking about those gifts. We are going to be taking each and every one of them and we'll discuss them. So I'm not going to go into them. But you will notice that the workings of miracles is one of those. The workings of miracles is one of those things that accompany every child of God as part of the gifts of the Spirit. But what I want us to take note of is this. If these gifts are going to be made manifest in our lives, there are certain conditions that need to be present. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. At least one of the conditions is what I want to talk about this morning for those gifts to become manifest. Because we cannot talk about those gifts without ensuring that those things are operating in our lives. That those conditions are operating in our lives. Otherwise, we will not be able to manifest those gifts. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. Now, Jesus was doing something. He was teaching and he was preaching. And as part of what he was doing, virtue started to flow out of him, healing people. There were instances where Jesus deliberately healed people. He would go to them and heal them, but you will notice something. These were things that happened in the course of his ministration. These were things that happened in the course of his teachings. These were things that happened in the course of his preachings. And if these gifts are going to be manifested in our own lives too, we have to be doing what Jesus was doing. Can we quickly open our Bibles to John chapter 4, verse 17 to 21? I want somebody to read from there. John 4. Praise the Lord. But one thing I want us to take note here is the fact that Jesus was able to see and said to her, the husband that you have now is not your husband. You know, this is the fifth one. And that one was enough to make the woman stand back. Jesus demonstrated the gift. But Jesus was going somewhere. Where was he going? He was going to minister to this woman. And he seized upon that moment. And he talked about the kingdom. Because all the manifestation of this gift has to be because of the kingdom. Jesus started to teach her. Jesus started to preach to her. It is very important. Even as we desire this gift, that certain things will have to be happening in our lives for the gifts to be made manifest. Can we quickly look at Romans chapter 12? Let's start from verse 1. Romans 12. We'll just look at those gifts. But like I told us, that's not where we are going this morning. Please, can you just, let's keep that. You know, let's keep that. Instead, go to John 14, verse 12. Because I want us to be quick. John 14, verse 12.
I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to do them.
Praise the Lord. He said, anyone who believes in me will do what? The greater works. Greater works. You do the work that he has done, and you do greater works even. Now, and these works include what? Teaching, preaching, and healing. And what? Because Jesus came for a purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. That's basically, and we know he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So Jesus, that was the work that Jesus came to do. And he says, anyone who is following him, who believes in him, will do similar work or even greater work along the same line. You wonder why we're going through all this. you know, as part of spiritually ministering, because we love the power, and people love the power to see it made manifest, and is a major attraction. But before we go into that, there's something that is very important that I think is missing, you know, in the Christendom that we need to be doing more of, particularly in this part of the world. Can you go on to the next slide, please? And I think this is very, very crucial. You will remember that these gifts will generally show up anywhere Jesus was teaching and preaching. In other words, wherever Jesus gave voice to the word of God, something began to happen. Can you open to Psalm 103, verse 20? Psalm 103, verse 20. And that is what I want to share with you this morning. Psalm 103, verse 20. And he said, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." There are angels that hearken, that listen, and are in readiness to obey the word of God. But do they obey the word of God when it is written on a page of paper like this? Do they? No. What do they obey? They obey the spoken words. And I want to tell you, every child of God that has the life of God in him is the voice of God. You are the one to give expression to the word of God so that the creative power, the redeeming power, the healing power in the world can come forth. If the word is not spoken, you know, as we used to do in those days, you put the Bible under your pillow. If the word is not spoken, there is no power made manifest until the word is spoken. Until life is given to the word. He said, "The word that I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life." When Jesus did not say, "The word that I write in this book," he said, "The word that I speak to you, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." And when you go out and speak the same word that Jesus spoke, the life and the spirit in the word will come alive. You see, the Bible tells us, it said, "The letter killeth, but the spirit does what? Make it alive." That is why you may know the word of God. If you don't have the application of the spirit leading you, you just know the letter. So it is very important that we give expression to the word of God. And there is one major thing that is happening in Christendom. We want to replace speaking the word of God with welfareism. Let me tell you something. We may choose to build millions of houses for people. We may choose to give them all the money in this world. We may choose to do whatever we can for them. We have to speak the word to them. We have to do what? Speak the word to them. No matter how well we try to be good to people, we need to actually speak the word to them. Do not be too polite to talk about Jesus Christ to people for fear that you might offend them. We go in a roundabout way and just say, "Look, once people see," there's also a saying that once people see our lives, that they will be attracted to Jesus. Wonderful. But I want you to know that every welfare venture you undertake, whether you are nice to people or do the best, it must be to give you an access to speak the word. If you have not spoken the word, then you have not ministered to that person. You may tell me that some people read. you've read of stories, or maybe people have told you how they read the Bible and they became converted or something. I want to let you know that such people will have heard the word somewhere. Somebody will have spoken to them at one time or the other. And we cannot say we are in the kingdom, and I bet that many of us have not led somebody to Christ. You cannot say you are part of the kingdom and not, you know, lead somebody. And I mean it, lead somebody to Christ. Be in the kingdom and sponging. In other words, we come in, we hear the word, we absorb it, we take it, we thank God if we apply it to our lives. That is not all. And I will prove to you that is not all. Can we go on to the next one, please? So we have to speak the word. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by what? By hearing. It does not say faith cometh by welfare. It does not say faith cometh by being nice. It does not say faith cometh by... You see, and I want to let us know, every time we want to leave godly principle and do something else, it will never work. The Bible is very clear. It says faith does what? It comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So, for an individual to have faith, so it's not just people outside, even for those of us in the church, we have to speak the word of God to each other. That is the only way we can build up our faith. So there is no substitute to the word spoken. Can we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 17? Romans 10, 13 to 17. Maybe if you have an amplified version, can you read it? Or you... Or I can read it if you like. Okay. He said, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking him as Lord, will be saved. Everyone who does what? Who calls. Not everyone who contemplates, or not everyone who thinks about the Lord. Not everyone who imagines him. Not everyone who has an idea. He said, everyone who does what? Call. You have to speak. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Okay, that is invoking him as Lord, will be saved. But how are people to call upon him whom they have not believed, in whom they have no faith, in whom they have no reliance? Look at this part. And how are they to believe in him, adhere to, trust in, and rely upon him of whom they have never heard? For somebody to hear, someone else has to do what? To speak. And how are they to hear without a preacher? How are people going to hear without what? Without a preacher. So if all of us are going to be politically correct, socially nice, and we will not preach, and we are not going to speak about him, how are people going to believe if they have not heard? If there is no one to preach the word, you and I are the ones to preach the word. And you know what? All these gifts that we talk about, they will accompany you as you venture to speak the word. As you do what? As you venture to speak the word. Let me tell you something. The gifts we are talking about will never accompany somebody who does not talk about Christ. Is that your experience too? Is that what you know? If you don't talk about him, we want power. We want to be able to pray and heal people. Those things will only happen to the measure that we are willing to make public pronouncement and commitments. That is when God will back you up. When you come out and say, look, and stake something, You know what I mean? You actually take something and say, look, I know this is what God will do. Then God will do it. But if we are wondering whether he will do it or not, so we are afraid to make those commitments and make public pronouncements, it is difficult for those gifts to be made manifest in our lives. Because the letters or words in a book is what? Is a piece of literature. That's why a lot of people, when they read this Bible, what is it? It's a storybook. A lot of people will tell you, I like the stories in it. And they know the stories. Is it not true? They know the stories. But it cannot work for them because it what? Is a story. It only works when the Spirit of God brings it alive. And then it gives life to the hearer. It gives life to the hearer. That is the only way it can come alive. So we must give expression to the word of God by our voice. So if you have stopped ministering to people, if you have stopped preaching the word, if you have stopped talking to people about Christ, this is the time to start. Let me tell you, you cannot tell me that you are born again if you don't disciple people. You may say it so, but I'm telling you, when you are genuinely born again, and you know what it entails, you will go and disciple someone else. Go on to the next slide, please. Now, we are going to quickly look at the 5 R's of salvation. The first one is redemption, that is to buy back. Of course, we know that the price, please, go back to number one, please. Yep. We know the price is the blood of Jesus. The work is redemption, not only from past sin, but also from its power. So, it's not just past sin. We are not only redeemed from past sins. We are also redeemed from the power of sin as it is current now and into the future. Can we read Romans chapter 16, verse 14 first, and then we'll read verse 13. Romans 16, verse 14 first, then verse 13. Let's be quick. Our time is going. Romans chapter 16, verse 14, then verse 13. Sorry, I hope I've not mingled it together or confused it. 14 and 13. Okay, sorry. Let's go to 6, Romans 6, 14 and 13. It said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, verse 13. He said, neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. In other words, a pronouncement has already been made that sin will not what? Will not have dominion over you. That the power of sin has been broken concerning you. And if you look at verse 13, it now says you have a duty to yield yourself. In other words, to submit yourself either to sin or to righteousness. So, in other words, if sin dominates you, it is a choice. Can we go to the next slide, please? Restoration, to bring back to original form or position. In other words, when God created man in his own image, he put man in a place of honor, power, authority, and dominion. And one of the things that got lost that day were all these. And so, part of the work of salvation, brought back that which was lost. And then the third R is regeneration. That is to bring back to life that which is dead. So, the same thing that happened at that time led to spiritual death. And, of course, with the coming of Jesus and breaking the power of sin and redeeming man, there was a transformation. There was a regeneration. That which is dead spiritually came alive spiritually. That is why Paul could say in Galatians chapter 2, 20, that the life that I now live, it's not I, but Christ lives in me. These are things we need to go out and be telling people. That's why I'm going through it again. These are things we need to go out and start telling people again. I don't know the last time you've ministered salvation to someone, but we need to go out there and say it again. Please, go to the next slide. And then there's reformation, to bring back to its first form after it's been damaged. Many things have been damaged. The image of God in man was damaged by the life of sin that man entered into. And it's Jesus that reformed you and I. So we have to go out and tell people the same thing. And then there's reconciliation. To conciliate is to make a friend. So it's to bring back a friendly relationship between God and man. These are the things that our salvation entails. We have to go out there and let people know. You know, it's not that there is, I mean, it is the desire of God to draw people close to himself. We need to say it again, 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 and again. Can we go on to the next slide because of our time? This particular verse was what we talked about last Sunday. And Abraham was known as a friend of God. He was known as a friend of God. So that the individual who comes to Christ is saved from the penalty, the power, and the future presence of sin. And people don't just get saved for saving's sake. People are not saved to exist and do whatever they like. People are not saved to go back to where they used to be. We are saved for what? For a purpose. So we are saved for God's purpose. Can we look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. It says, "For it is he who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself, holy, and leading to holiness, to a life of consecration, a vocation." I like this. A vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything of merit that we have done, but because of and further to his own purpose and grace or merited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That is, eternal ages ago. There are just two things I want us to take note there. With our salvation, there is something added to it. Did you see there? With every saved soul, there's something else added to the salvation. What is it? Huh? What is added to our salvation? There is a calling. So we are not just saved and left to be where we were. We were saved and there is also a calling upon your life. Do you get the point? He didn't just save you to leave you where you are. He saved you and has placed a call upon your life. Remember what Jesus said in John 14. He said, this work that I do, anyone who believes in me will do greater work, shall he do? You will do greater work. That same, there is a calling on you to do that same work that Jesus did. So you are not just saved to stay where you are. You are saved with a calling on top of it. And then, if you look at the second part, the second word I want us to take note there, is that it is for his own what? The calling is for his own what? His own purpose. And I want to end by saying, there is only one thing to live for. But there are many things for living. There are many things for what? For living. But there is only one thing to live for. What do we have for living? You can use money for living. You need house for living, clothes for living, friends for living, your car for living, your job for living. All these things, they are for what? They are for living. But there's only one thing to live for. There's only God to live for. And every other thing for living is to be arranged around the purpose for which you are alive. Praise the Lord. Any questions? Can we pray? Can we rise up? Let's rise up this morning. Can we just pray to the Lord and speak to him this morning and say, Lord, make me an instrument to give expression to your word. Make me an instrument to give vocal expression to your word in the mighty name of Jesus. We need to go out there. We need to be talking about him. He is the issue. He is the happening thing. Yes, he is the reason for living. There's only one thing to live for. There are many things for living, but there is only one thing to live for, and that is Jesus Christ. We need to go out and we need to talk to people about it. We need to go out and we need to share it with people. Can you just begin to, you know, I don't know when last you ministered to somebody. I don't know when last you preached the word. I don't know when last you led somebody to Christ. I don't know when last you the passion of his word took hold of you that you couldn't keep quiet. I don't know when last you refused to be, you know, to not be nice, but to talk to somebody about the word of God. Can you just begin to speak to the Lord? Begin to speak to the Lord. I don't know where you were before and where you are right now. If you are a child of God and you have never led anyone to Christ, this is an opportunity to begin to speak the word wherever you go. Every opportunity, whether you are at work, whether you are at home, whether you are in the train, whether you are in the bus, wherever you find yourself, is an opportunity to speak the word, to speak the word to somebody. Can you begin to speak to the Lord this morning, that God will enable you, he will empower you, he will envision you. There is a reason for saving you. There is a reason for saving you. You are not saved to lie fallow. You are not saved to just hang around. You are not saved to go just to go to work and come back. You are not saved to make more money. You are saved for a purpose, for his own purpose, for his own purpose. All other things will be added unto you, but you are saved for the purpose of God. Why don't you speak to him this morning? You are saved for a purpose. You are saved for a purpose. You are not just saved to run around. Let me tell you something. Animals build nests like you build homes. Animals marry just like you marry. Animals raise kids just like we raise kids. Animals do virtually everything that we do, except that they cannot proclaim the glory of the living God like we do. That is the purpose for which we are saved. We have to know why we are alive, and that's the and he is the only one we are to live for. In the mighty name of Jesus, begin to speak to him. Begin to speak to the Lord this morning. Speak to the Lord this morning. Speak to the Lord this morning. You are saved for a purpose. You are saved with a calling. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, after your children have heard you this morning, they will go out and they will not be ashamed of the gospel in Jesus' name. Lord, they will go out and they will bear fruit in the mighty name of Jesus. With boldness, you proclaim that Jesus is Lord. With boldness, you will invite people to be part of God's family, to be children of God. I'm not talking about bringing somebody to this church. It doesn't matter whether people come here or not. As far as I'm concerned, that they come to the kingdom. You will go out there and you will speak boldly before him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.